listening to On the Same Page, a podcast from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. Welcome back to another episode of On the Same Page. I'm your host, Abby, and with me again today is my manager, Catherine Fay.
We're librarians at the Central Library, creating this podcast to be a resource for you on your reading journey. We'll share books, library tips, and stories in science that bring reading to life.
In today's episode, you'll hear a bunch of JMRL staff members share their reading resolutions for 2022. Maybe you'll want to steal some of our reading goals for yourself.
What are your reading resolutions for 2022, Abby?
My reading resolutions all fall under the umbrella of read more widely. Here are the categories that I'm going to try to read next year. I would like to read at least one fantasy book. I would like to read two different memoirs or biographies, one from each side of the aisle. And then the third thing is that I want to read a library book. I just realized I haven't read a full length book about my profession since library school. That one is widely applicable to any listener. You can try to find a book that will help you grow in your own job. So what are your reading resolutions for 2022?
I don't usually make reading resolutions, but given the opportunity and the invitation, I have contemplated what I might want to consciously and intentionally add to my reading list for next year. And usually my goal is just to read through the stack of 50 books that I've checked out before I run out of renewals. Usually I do not read any fiction at all. I used to really enjoy it when I was younger. And so my goal this year is to read three fiction books and to try and find one fiction that I really, really love. And then for nonfiction, my current interests, which focus around neuroscience in relation to community, nature, and play. So looking at books related to ecotherapy, which are kind of like forest bathing and the healing properties of being in nature, the hidden life of trees, really hoping to actually transition some of that into some library programs where once, you know, I feel pretty oriented to the topic, that's something that I could share with our patrons, especially as we head into spring. The last topic is play as related to adults. As adults, that kind of spontaneity and creativity and really being present is something that can be a little difficult. So taking the time to cultivate that in my life.
It sounds like I'm going to read one library book and you're reading the entire nonfiction section and bringing it all to the library.
That's actually a life goal of mine. Yeah. Like once I retire, whatever library is local to me is to start in the zeros of nonfiction and read my way through the entire thing.
To comment on your fiction goal, one tip that I have for you is if you enjoyed it when you were younger, maybe to go read some YA or even children's books.
Yeah, I will look at those. When I was working as a youth librarian, I would read a lot of the books just so that I could do reader's advisory with the kids and their parents. And there were some that were surprisingly captivating, which actually became my test for whether or not I would recommend them, especially for the older kids. If it would hold my attention, then that's a quality book.
Speaking of tips, I'm interested in reading more widely, as I said, but I'm kind of nervous about it because this year I also had that intention, but I found myself falling into continuing to pick up books that I knew that I would like. That's one of the things about working in a library is you see so many books and you're like, oh, that one's good. I know I'm going to like that. Mm-hmm. So I think one way I'm going to tackle my challenge of reading different genres or different books that I pre-select for myself is that I'm going to alternate. I'm kind of like alternating between go-to and brand new.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, because I don't generally keep a huge to-read list or TBR list. I it kind of just overwhelms me when I start making lists. So I always pick books in the moment, which is why I always pick books that I know I'll like, but I'm going to alternate.
Yeah, one of the things I really appreciated about the degree program was that it came with assigned categories of reading lists. And I had to read like 10 graphic novels, and I really don't care for graphic novels at all. And actually found three of them that I absolutely fell in love with, which was a surprise to me. So I've kept that in the back of my mind ever since, is that I don't always know necessarily what I like unless I do an exploration.
So true. This year I read a mystery and I read a few romance books, and I actually really enjoyed them. So I was very happy that I was forced to do that. I'm talking to David now. David, thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
We're talking today about reading resolutions for 2022.
I'd like to read more than I've read the past few years. I have been throughout my life a voracious reader, but my numbers are down. I have a favorite series of books that I read in 2021, and they are by the author Becky Chambers, and it's called the Wayfarers series. There are four books there that have come out in the last 6 or 7 years. The one that came out this year was called The Galaxy and the Ground Within. And I read them all this past year. And I have been a science fiction reader most of my life, amongst others. I like a lot of different things. But this was really unique to me, and that equated to a cozy mystery, but it's a cozy sci-fi. It's just great stories about community and people coming together in order to achieve things or to keep people, you know, safe and moving forward. And it really resonated during a pandemic year. It was nice to read about people setting aside their differences and embracing those differences and then achieving their goals together. So I highly recommend those, not just for science fiction readers, but for people looking for a light, fun, heartfelt series of books.
Yeah, cozy sci-fi. That sounds like maybe you just made that up.
I'm sure I stole that from somewhere, but that's the feeling I got, like the feeling of reading a cozy mystery, but in a different genre. So my main resolution for next year is to try to read more new books. I've fallen into a habit of picking up books that I have read before, or books that have been out for a while that I've heard about, and I'm missing things that are new, not just to me, but new to the world. I've been working for JMRL for 20 years, and much of that time has been on a public service desk of some sort where new books came across my hands all the time. And I'd keep a list or use Goodreads or something like that to keep track of what I wanted to read. But now that my job is more of an office type job, I don't see them as much. I don't get to see them as they're being checked out to people or they're being processed. So I've lost a little bit of the track of like, here's what other people are reading and here's what the cool new books are. So I'm going to make it a goal this year to try to either from library staff or from library patrons or for book reviews to read more things that are new to the world.
You want to read new books, but you say that you don't really work so much back and forth with patrons, frontline service as much anymore. So how did you come up with that goal, or why do you want to do that goal?
I miss being part of the zeitgeist of it, what other people are talking about when it comes to books. By the time the book festival comes around, there are all these amazing authors with new books that I am behind on. I haven't read any of them. That's one goal, is to try to kickstart some of that and maybe using the book festival's list of who's coming as a way to re-enter the new books world. Also, just because I think that if I stay in the tried and true things that I like and classics or genre classics that I like, then you don't really push yourself to try new things or to try to read outside of your comfort zone. So I think one way to do that is to focus on new materials coming out.
I can remember being a kid, and it was fun in a way before this whole world of constantly streaming and millions of choices, because you turned on the TV at night and everybody watched the same show. So you got to school the next day and everybody was talking about the same thing. We're talking now to Jess. Thank you, Jess, for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can you jump in and just tell us your reading resolutions for 2022?
Sure. I know this is shocking that a librarian has more than one reading resolution, but I think a lot of us are feeling a little burnt out from the past 2 years. You know, just something happened that affected all of us globally. I don't know if anyone else has that problem. But I think one problem I've had is that I am not reading as much as I want to, or I just don't have the energy or the mental capacity to read, even though that's something I really enjoy and love, obviously. So one of my big ones is to set aside a day each week to read. So I get that time to myself, I get that time to read, and I'm also not staring at a screen, because even though I like ebooks, I still prefer print. And I'm hoping that this will put me in a habit where I can just keep doing that, even if I feel like garbage. Another big one I have is, since I'm a teen librarian, a lot of what I read is teen, which is cool. It's good. It's good stuff. But a lot of times I don't read as much adult books as I want to. And a big one is, I want to read at least one adult nonfiction book this year, even if it's just some true crime book that's going to make me triple check all my windows before I go to bed at night. I do want to actually read an adult nonfiction. Another big one is, I want to read outside my genres. I tend to stick to romance and mystery. I guess there's something comforting about knowing the beats and the tropes. My book club is reading Ender's Game in December. That is not my genre at all. I don't do that whole space politics, pew, 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 aliens kind of thing. My husband's already watched Dune twice. That's not me. But I do want to try to read other genres. But with sci-fi, I tend to stereotype it as one particular thing, like I said, with the aliens and spaceships and things like that. But there are other types of sci-fi out there that don't just deal with space and, you know, the politics of spice and sandworms and things like that. So I think I need to give that another chance.
That's true. Sci-fi is a very large genre, and there are so many subgenres, and surprising yourself is always a great thing. So hopefully if you try some other new ones, you can find a sci-fi that you enjoy.
And another thing I also want to do is read books with authors with a more diverse background or more diverse voice, because I think I tend to read, oh, I'll read this book, and this book is similar, so I'm going to read this book. And so a lot of the books I end up reading are by white women or cisgender, heterosexual white women. And that's okay, but I really need to read a wider variety of authors with different points of view and different life experiences. And I think that'll really help also my reader's advisory at my job as well, along with reading different genres. And then the last one is that to actually read books people have recommended to me, instead of going, oh, thanks, and then not doing anything with it ever. And just being, I'll put this right here and never read it, even though I probably would enjoy it. So
I wanted to ask you more about the setting aside a time to read on a particular day of the week. Can you tell me more about that, or how you envision it going?
I got the idea from a woman who used to come to my events at my last system. I worked in Loudoun County for a while, and I ran something called Art Club. And once a month, I would do an event for teens and adults where we would do any form of art, portraits, sketching portraits, painting, collages, bad art nights. And this one woman told me that because of Art Club, she had started setting a time once a week on Fridays to do art for herself. And she was a young mom, and she didn't really get a lot of time to herself. And she used to do art when she was younger. And these library events helped remind her of how much she enjoyed it and how much she enjoyed the creativity and expressing herself, which is, I think, kind of the whole point of libraries, is giving people the tools to be able to express themselves, research, do all these things on their own. And I want to do that for myself.
One last question for you, Jess. What was a book that you enjoyed reading this year that motivates you to read more next year?
So I just spent all that time talking about reading outside my genre. I should have mentioned, I also read a ton of young adult graphic novels. That's probably my top read. And those come in 100 different genres, but we just stick graphic novel on them. But the one I absolutely loved and I showed to everybody was called The Dire Days of Willow Weep Manor. And the author is Shannon K. Garrity. It's a YA graphic novel that makes fun of the tropes of Gothic romances. And if you've ever read any of the Bronte sisters or even Jane Austen, she wasn't quite Gothic romance, but it has that elements in it. And it also has sci-fi elements in it too. Look at that. But it is so funny. And if you're a fan of Gothic romances, I would definitely recommend it. And even if you're not, it is so funny. There's little Easter egg jokes in it. There's a Monty Python joke in it. I'm half Italian and there's an Italian joke in it. So, you know, it's there's something for everybody. And I have recommended it to everyone I know because it's just hilarious. And I actually laughed out loud a couple times reading it. Anytime anybody wants a young adult graphic novel recommendation or a cozy mystery recommendation, I fluctuate between being 13 and 90.
Here with me now is Andrew Grimm. I'm excited to hear a snippet about what you're interested in reading. Can you tell us your reading resolutions for the upcoming year?
So for this upcoming year, my goal is to read 2 books a month for the entire year. A tall task, but I think I can handle.
How did you come up with 2 books and what else are you hoping to achieve with those 2 books?
I have been an avid reader before my time at JMRL through college and through high school. But due to the nature of my work, sometimes I can be a sporadic reader. Sometimes I might read 3 books a month. Sometimes I might read only, you know, 1 book a month or even none. And so I wanted to start reading more consistently. And I've also wanted to start reading more nonfiction to be more informed on various topics, history, science, psychology, and such. So I thought the balance of having 2 books a month of nonfiction would be a good way for me to be consistent, but also gain a lot of knowledge.
So you're going to read 2 books of nonfiction or just incorporate more nonfiction?
So I want to incorporate more nonfiction. Sometimes I might want to be adventurous and get into some fiction. But what got me into reading was I read a lot of nonfiction, and specifically Ray Bradbury's books were my gateway into the world of reading. Fahrenheit 451, The Illustrated Man, these books were my Eureka books. So while I do love me reading some fiction, I want to try to get some nonfiction, get some more knowledge, some information, more perspective.
Do you have any books picked out for 2022 or are you going to take each month as it comes?
I have some planned out in a reading list, but some that I want to mention is Bill Bryson's A Short History of Nearly Everything. And Roger Osborne's Civilization, A New History of the Western World. 2 books, I was thinking that if I'm going to start reading some nonfiction, I should start from the very beginning of at least history as we know it.
That's awesome. And Bill Bryson, I know, is a great writer and very readable. So his nonfiction probably almost feels more like fiction at times, more narrative nonfiction. I'm talking now to Kayla. Thank you for being on the podcast. And I'm excited to learn a little bit more about you and your reading resolutions for 2022.
Thanks for having me, Abby.
Can you tell us about your resolution for next year?
So my resolution for next year is to read more of what I own. It's kind of hard working in a library where you're very much tempted by all of the new books coming across the shelves and all the new things to download on Libby. But back in October 2020, made a spreadsheet of all of the books I own in both hardback, paperback, and Kindle. Kind of geek over spreadsheets a little bit. So use that to sort of track how many books I own, what format, what genre, the different authors. And I'm hoping to go through and just kind of read more of what I own, basically. It's over 300 items total between Kindle and the hardcover. I've got 2 shelves of fiction, alphabetical by author's last name, and then a whole shelf of nonfiction that, honestly, the nonfiction is the most of what I haven't read, but hoping to get more into that this year as well.
And over 300 items sounds like a lot, but tell us how much you read this year.
So this year, so far, I've read 97 books. My goal, I try to make my goal each year on Goodreads to read 100 books, and about 39 of those have been audiobooks so far. And now that I'm commuting from Stanton to Charlottesville every day, I'm definitely going through a lot more audiobooks than initially I would. This year, my favorite one would be Firekeeper's Daughter. I actually just finished reading that one by Angeline Bouley. From looking at the cover, you would think it would be fantasy, but it is actually a more of like a teen, like young adult crime thriller set on a reservation in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and the main character is 18 years old and is sort of going undercover to help stop a meth ring that's affecting her community.
I'm also curious to know, how did you get all these books? Just over time, or what was that process like?
A lot over time. When I started working at the Stanton Library about 9 years ago, I started reading a lot more young adult books, and I fell into this pattern of, if I read a series and liked it, I bought the books on my own, or I would start a series buy books one and two, and then buy book three when it came out. And then sometimes there were series that I did that, and I have them all, but I actually never read the last book in the series.
Oh.
So part of what I hope to do with this is to go back and reread the series, because by this point, I've forgotten what happened in the first two books. And a lot of those books, some were from Barnes & Noble, some were the Green Valley Book Fair. There was a period where I participated in a book subscription box called Owl Crate, in that every month you would get a young adult book with some swag from the author and like a note. And sad to say, a lot of those books were some of the books that I got but then never read. And then some also from Friends of the Library book sales. If I start from like beginning of the alphabet, the author's last name, I can like go through, see what it is I want to keep, see what it is I might want to donate or get rid of or pass along.
Sounds like a great combination of reading and also I'm getting like Marie Kondo vibes. What's sparking your joy? Maybe some minimalism or decluttering.
The Marie Kondo book is on my list of nonfiction shelves. So,
so that's one you own?
Yeah, that is one I own that, that I haven't read.
I'm talking now to Heather. Hi, Heather. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
How about some reading resolutions for you for 2022?
Well, I actually have two. My first one is the same every year, which is to read outside the genre that's my comfort zone. So that means reading something I don't normally read, such as mysteries or romance. And the reason I like to do that is we offer readers advisory services so people can ask us for recommendations based on things that they typically do enjoy. And it will help me provide better library service if I read more of that genre.
So did you read any mysteries or romance or anything outside your genre this year?
I did. I slowly made my way through one. I would say, I don't know that it was even really a romance. It was more of sort of cozy, just comfortable book. It was The Keeper of Lost Things. It wasn't exactly my cup of tea, but I did make my way through it. And I think it gave me an idea of what people who like those kinds of books are looking for.
Yeah, and you said you had a second one as well. What's that?
My second one is to read more young adult books. I have a son who's in sixth grade, and he is a voracious reader, and he reads a lot, and I used to be able to recommend books. I still can. I still recommend children's books to him, and I have read a fair amount of YA, but he's hard to keep up with, so I want to read a little bit more YA to keep up with what he's reading, maybe some of the titles he's already read so we can discuss them, but also just some of the newer titles so that I have things that I can recommend to him as well.
Do you have any books that you read this past year that you would recommend to us?
The most recent book I read that I really enjoyed, well, there's two that I recently read and enjoyed, My Monticello by Jocelyn Johnson. She's a local author, and it's actually short stories and a novella. And that was wonderful to read because I know Jocelyn, but also the novella takes place in Charlottesville. And so it was interesting to read a story that takes place where you actually live. And the writing is just beautiful. So that and the other book I really enjoyed recently was Clara and the Sun by Kazuo Ishiguro. And he writes in this beautiful way that combines literature and science fiction that I don't think is very well matched by other authors. Also on my list this year, I really enjoyed The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett, Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine by Gail Honeyman, and Milkman by Anna Burns.
My Monticello that takes place in Charlottesville, is that taking place in current times or is it a historical novel?
It's set slightly in the future after climate and racial crisis occurs in the area. So the grid has gone down, and at the same time, white supremacists descend upon Charlottesville. And the story, the novella, focuses a group of neighbors from one part of town, and centered within that group are descendants of Sally Hemings, and they make their way up to Monticello.
So it's not in the near future, but you were able to still recognize parts of Charlottesville, yes, or even the atmosphere or the character kind of our town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. That's neat. And I also wanted to ask you if you could talk about how you think it will be to read YA literature, which is mostly intended for a younger audience, but of course there's tons of crossover.
Mm-hmm. The experience of reading for me is exciting because it lets you see the world or an experience or a point in history from someone else's perspective. I typically gravitate towards books that are outside of my own experience, and I like being able to see the world through a different point of view. Most YA books are written by adults for youth, but they tap into more of a current young experience and the challenges and experiences that young people might be facing in today's world.
Do you feel like you're passing that along to your sons a little bit, of that reading and getting to know something else besides your own lived experience? Do you find your sixth grader doing that?
Yeah, I do. I'm really pleased. He reads really widely. Like most kids, he likes graphic novels. And right now he's really into like dystopian fiction. He just finished The Hunger Games and things like that. But he also really loves realistic fiction and historical fiction. And he'll ask me questions. It provides a lot of material for conversation starters about kind of tough topics that you wouldn't know how to begin or address with a kid otherwise.
We're talking now to Tish from the Gordon Avenue Library. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. A super fun opportunity.
Will you tell us a little bit about the resolutions that you have for the upcoming year and maybe your history with reading resolutions in the past?
Sure. So this year, I hope to repeat the Book Riot Read Harder Challenge. I did that in 2020. And it's a website. They put together a list of different tasks for breaking out of your reading bubble. I also want to read books from the Virginia Festival of the Book. They will announce in January the authors who will be participating. I always like to include that on my resolution list. And then you asked about the history. So I looked back to see when I first did a reading resolution, and it was in 2010. I was not getting very far in my dissertation at the time, so I decided to make a goal that I thought I could reach, which was 100 books in a year. I did that. I ultimately also finished my dissertation the following year, so I didn't put that aside completely. But my PhD is in educational psychology, and when I did this 100 book challenge, I basically had to switch my dissertation. What I had started just wasn't working. So I had to switch my topic. And my advisor was getting to the point of telling me that. Yeah. And once she told me that, I said, okay, I could do that. So I actually did it on some of the reasons of why people quit a PhD program at the dissertation level. So 50% of people quit their PhD. And I think it's something like 80% of those people who quit do it during their dissertation, which is super sad because they've done all the coursework, they've done their comps. So yeah, so I studied why people quit because I felt like I was about to quit, but I didn't. I finished. And then in 2021, I did a different resolution in that I had read A Tree Grows in Brooklyn by Betty Smith. And there's a quote in there that says, and when she wanted to feel a closeness to someone, she could read a biography. And obviously we were in the deep throes of the pandemic and I couldn't really be with people. So I thought, well, I can read about people. So I'm lucky enough to be in the library 5 days a week. So I decided I would read biographies or memoirs A through Z. So it's fun to have a challenge like Book Riot because someone else is prescribing it for you instead of you choosing them. So I think it helps you break out even more from what you would normally do.
Do you have a book title of either a book that you enjoyed this past year or a book that you're looking forward to reading next year?
I actually pulled out from the Book Riot Read Harder Challenge in 2020. They give you tasks to break out of your reading bubble. So one of the categories or one of the tasks was audiobook of poetry. Hmm. And I listen to audiobooks, but not poetry. I chose For Everyone by Jason Reynolds. And I loved that. He read it. He's fantastic. And I actually suggested that as one of my staff picks. And just, I really loved it. It was how he dreamt when he was a child of what he wanted his life to be. It was really special. And then another one from that same Read Harder Challenge was a graphic memoir. And I did March, book one by John Lewis and Andrew Aiden, and illustrated by Nate Powell. And that was one that I probably would not have picked up. I don't read graphic memoirs. I tend to read literary fiction. So the fact that it gave me different suggestions and ideas of other books to read was fantastic.
I'm talking now to Jennifer. Hey, Jennifer, thanks for being on the podcast.
Hey, Abby, thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome. So tell us a little bit about what you're resolving to do next year, reading wise.
I am planning to restart my reading habit. It's like a lot of people, I have become very distracted during the pandemic and not really able to focus on myself and my well-being as much. And reading is a big part of that, like taking the time. There's a friend of mine who makes a post every month at the end of the month with all the books she read that month. And it's often like 10. And besides feeling incredibly jealous, it really inspires me. I like to see what she read and what she enjoyed. What I'd really like to do, I think, is try different things and sort of genre hop, because I tend to get in a rut of reading just for information I need. Like when I was a new mom reading all the parenting books I could get my hands on. And now I have a puppy and I'm reading dog training books. I think the pandemic, I got oversaturated with information. I'm wanting an escape, maybe.
Can you tell us about a book that you're excited to read next year?
Sure. Across the Airless Wilds. It's by Earl Swift. And he's actually a friend of mine. He's a hometown hero. We're both from St. Louis. And I really love his writing. I've read a lot of his books. His one before this was Chesapeake Requiem, which was about Tangier Island, which is probably going to be one of the first coastal places we lose. And he was embedded there for a year. And he's actually gone back a couple of times to follow up. He's a journalist and his style is pretty much immersive narrative nonfiction. I find it very exciting that he always chooses adventurous things to explore. And so now this one is about the lunar rover and the final moon landings that were sort of overshadowed by the first moon landing and some of those other missions. So this is another one that I think will be pretty cool to read. And I just love his writing. He reminds me very much of Mark Twain. And I probably have that idea because one of his first books was called Journey on the James, where he just got in a kayak and went around the James and explored different places for a few months.
Jennifer, it's so cool to hear you talk about Earl Swift. Recently, I attended the Gordon Avenue Wednesday Evening Book Club, and that group had read Grandma Gatewood's Walk, which is a book by Ben Montgomery. And it's sounds like a similar style to Earl Swift. It's narrative nonfiction. What rang a bell for me so interestingly is that Ben was telling us about the books and resources that he used to write this book about Grandma Gatewood hiking the Appalachian Trail. And apparently he had a long conversation with Earl Swift, maybe at the time that he was working at the Virginia Pilot, because apparently Earl Swift hiked the Appalachian Trail maybe in the 90s. Does that ring a bell for you?
Yes, he's actually done it a couple of times. And he has written a lot about, there's this really famous murder that happened on the Appalachian Trail. He's fascinated with all that. He writes for Outdoor Magazine a lot as well.
Ben Montgomery had read his book, Chesapeake Requiem. And I don't know if they knew each other or maybe he had just read that book, but very cool to hear about that author connection.
I could go into those kind of rabbit holes with reading sometimes. I get really into an author and I start really looking at what influenced them and also who was influenced by them.
That is a fun way to do reading, when you find a favorite author to then maybe find out what your favorite author likes to read. I love reading Ann Patchett and So then I go on her website or I go to look at what she has in her bookstore, and it's very exciting because you feel like if she likes it and I like her, then I'll like it.
Yes. That when I was in my 20s, I had just moved to New York, but I was really into Frank O'Hara, the poet, and I wanted to get to know New York through his eyes because he wrote about it a lot. And a lot of his friends were artists, and in his poems, he mentioned places. And so I wanted to go to all those places. And my first probably couple of months that I lived in New York City, I was just trying to channel Frank O'Hara. I'm kind of a dork.
And I bet when you went to visit those places and you had read them in the poetry, it almost made you feel more connected to Frank O'Hara. Like, wow, he saw this and now I'm seeing it. And it's like we're sharing this experience through time.
Yeah. And it led me to read a lot of books about New York in the 50s and then get to know the artists. Frank O'Hara had been a curator at MoMA, the Museum of Modern Art. And so I was going there a lot and I was learning about artists. It just took me on such a journey that started with connecting with his poems in a poetry class in college.
That one poem or that one book of poems, and it takes you on a whole creative or learning journey.
I want to give a big thanks to everyone who spent time recording with us to create this epic Reading Resolutions Roundup. And this podcast is made possible through the generous support from the Friends of the Library. If you'd like to learn more or join the Friends, please head to their website at jmrlfriends.org. Please hit subscribe wherever it is that you're listening to this podcast. If you have books that you'd like us to read and discuss or topics that you'd like to hear on a future episode, please email us at podcast@jmrl.org.
That's all for us today. We'll be back soon with brand new content. Thanks for tuning in. We're glad to be on the same page.